Hey, everybody.
Yeah.
It's Monday. Look at your bald head.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just so, I've gotten so used to putting wigs and hats on and stuff.
She's trying to guilt trip me into putting on a show already.
I'm not putting on a show. You're overthinking it.
All I said was look
at your bald head.
Okay, there you go. There you go. We saw a fucking movie the other day. That was yesterday. Last night we watched it.
This is one of the weirdest movies I've ever seen.
This movie is like almost kind of like the spiritual fucking successor to fucking Manos, Hands of Fate.
It wasn't that bad.
No.
It was weird. It had like a really... So this came out in 1973. It's called Messiah of Evil.
Yeah.
And Shudder just added it. I'd never seen it. It's got a bunch of other titles too. Like it was released under the title Dead People. It was released under the title Return of the Living Dead. Before that movie actually came out. And George Romero tried to sue, but he didn't succeed because they're like, hey, you don't have rights over the phrase Living Dead. This one, it kind of gave me the same vibe as early Romero meets Let's Scare Jessica to Death meets Deathbed, the Bed That Eats.
Yeah. It wasn't that bad.
Well, no, I'm just saying, but it kind of had a vibe that was kind of similar to that. Yeah, Deathbed, the Bed That Eats. The title was the best thing about it.
Yeah.
And also the part where the bed ate the fried chicken.
Yeah.
That was also like, that was high hilarity right there.
This movie, the reason why it reminds me of Manos, Hands of Fate is because both movies are actually pretty good ideas. It's just that they didn't quite have the budget to execute that story. This one, they have more of a budget. It's executed a lot better than Manos, Hands of Fate. But it is fucking strange. It's surreal.
It's
a very strange movie. It's a very good idea. You could reshoot this movie. With modern technology and keep most of the story the same, and it would work. It does. It kind of works the way it is.
Yeah, because some of the shots and stuff are like pretty creepy. So I think it's, and it doesn't. I mean, it has a story, but a lot of it is kind of left to the imagination, I guess. Which, like I said, it's kind of just Let's Scare Jessica to Death is almost. Like the same exact vibe as this.
The movie begins and ends with a female doing a monologue. You're not really. She's evidently in an insane asylum, telling you this story.
Yeah.
Of what happened to her? You're not sure if the story really happened or not. And the story is what seems to be kind of like a zombie outbreak. There's more to it than that.
Yeah, they're not really zombies, though.
No.
I mean, they're kind of... I don't know. We'll get into
that. It's kind of like something out of John Carpenter flick where, a demon shows up. What was the name of what was the one where there's a demon doing all this different shit? And it's like one of Carpenter's worst movies.
Which one? Prince of Darkness?
Prince of Darkness. It kind of reminds me of Prince of Darkness. You're not really sure what's going on, and some dude comes out of the hills back in the 1800s and starts spreading this religion that somehow causes people to become cannibals, and they're still out there. And it's quite convoluted. For me, it was. I was losing track of it, but it was kind of cool to watch.
Yeah, it's a really... Yeah. It has, like, a really high rating on Shudder. It has 5 skulls.
Yeah.
And a lot of the other reviews... There's not a shit ton of other reviews of this, but some other horror channels have reviewed it, and most of them, like, seem to really dig it. They said, now, you really have to be in the mood to watch it.
Yeah, it's 70s.
Because it's 70s as shit, and it's, like, it's one of those really surreal, like, dreamlike kind of things where it's, like, you're not entirely sure what's going on, but there's some really, really nice shots in it, and, like, some of the sequences are really cool.
Yeah.
You just have to kind of like just let it.
And there's characters
wash
in here. You're not sure
you.
What it is. There's one hot 70s chick. She looks like a model walking around. She's got a nice rack. And then there's this dude with his 2 girlfriends.
Yeah.
And he's like a pathological liar, I guess, about how rich he is. And he's got one girlfriend has the mind of a child. As he said, he called her a mind of a child. She's like a dingbat. And then the other girlfriend is a little more sophisticated. They pick on her. All kinds of weird shit happens. Then the girls try to screw the hot girl or at least try to talk her into it. It didn't work. Not that I remember. That never did work, did it?
No, I don't think.
Yeah,
it
didn't work. It's slutty.
This is a weird ass movie.
It's good.
It's a weird ass movie.
It's fucking weird, man.
like I said, it reminds me very, very strongly of Let's yeah. Scare Jessica to Death.
It's also kind of like an all-star Hollywood Z-lister cast. In other words, you recognize a lot of these people. They're kind of like the Z-listers from Hollywood.
Well, I mean, Alicia Cook Jr., who was in fucking everything. He was in House on Haunted Hill. He was in, like, fucking, he's in everything.
It's different levels. Some of them are C-listers, you know, but a lot of them are Z. They got the dude who played Leon from fucking Blade Runner. He's just in it for a few seconds. He's like one of the extras.
The girl that plays, or the woman that plays the lead, Mariana Hill, she was in a bunch of like TV back then, like Mannix and shit like that. So it's like all these people are kind of recognizable.
Yeah, one of the bums that's in there, he was like in a bunch of Twilight Zones. And
that's Alicia Cook Jr.
That is his name. Okay, yeah, he's like your standard bum character. Yeah, he's in it.
Yeah, he was in a fuck ton of movies.
It's a trip, man.
I'm going to try... Okay, so fun fact, the directors of this are Willard Hoyk, I think is how you pronounce it, and Gloria Katz, it's husband and wife. Fun fact, I think I already said that, they work a lot with George Lucas. They were actually the two that wrote the original screenplays for American Graffiti and Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, and these two might... have, or at least Willard Hoyk might have done a rewrite on the original script of Star Wars. So he might have had his hand in that mix too. And they would later go on to direct Howard the Duck. Which I don't care if people say Howard the Duck is a bad movie. I really have a lot of affection for Howard the Duck. It's a weird as shit movie too. But let me see. Okay, so let me see if I can describe this movie. It, in a way, conceptually, it seemed like it was really ahead of its time. Mm-hmm. It has a Lovecrafty type of shit going on, too.
Yeah.
And I think that was deliberate.
Yeah, well, that's kind of like what I was saying. It kind of reminded me of, like, one of George Romero's takes on fucking Lovecraft stuff.
That's.
You know what I mean? It's not...
This is, like, early Romero, like, Martin type... Yeah. Or what was that weird one that he did about the witch late... The Coven of Witches?
I
watched that one not too long ago on Shudder, too. Yeah. That was also a weird-ass movie. And this was... Like, the early 70s were a weird time.
It's in there saying that my hair is redefining goth. Wow, that's cool. I'm redefining goth. And then...
Oh, my God.
Then somebody says... The quote... She's got a nice rack. Is that on the Blu-ray cover? It's going to be.
It ought to be.
Yeah.
It ought to be.
She got a nice rack. It's just...
Season of the Witch. Thank you. That's the name of that movie. Yeah.
There's eye candy in it. There's fucking good... There's interesting locations that kind of take you back to the 70s if you were around during that time. The way mobile gas stations looked.
I feel like mobile maybe paid for some product placement.
I think there might have been some product placement.
Because there's some significant shit that happens at like a mobile gas station. Yeah. And they show the sign and shit too.
Then they go inside of theaters and you actually can see the candy rack inside the theater and you go like, oh man, that's the old Milk Dud box.
Yeah.
And the old fucking Nestle Crunch bars.
Yeah.
The way the old wrappers looked and everything. Nestle Crunch. I remember when I was a kid. They had Bit of Honeys in there.
You know what? It's like I never liked those when I was a kid, but I kind of developed a taste for them when I got older.
Good, yeah.
For some reason, when I was a kid, I thought they were gross, but I don't know. When I got older, I liked them.
Yeah.
But so I'm going to try and explain what goes on in this movie, and I'm not entirely sure, so I'm just going to tell you that right out the gate.
It's kind of hard to know what
it's super bizarre. Yeah. So it's bookended by, like you said, this narration by the main character who is in an asylum. So we're not entirely sure if all the shit that happened in between the sandwich of her narration is like just her imagination, or I kind of think it's not, but you know, whatever. So you have that, and then she's playing this woman. Her name is Arletty, which is weird. I never heard anybody named that. Maybe there is. I don't know.
Yeah.
So she's named that. And she says that she's been getting letters from her dad, and her dad is like this weird, like, artist type dude. And he left her and the mom and went to this kind of seaside town called, I thought it was called Point Dune, but the Wikipedia page says Point Doom with an M, like D-U-M-E.
Yeah.
So I don't know which one it was. I didn't have the closed captioning on, so I didn't really know.
Probably.
So yeah. So she's like, so her dad starts like writing her these weird letters, and like they get weirder and weirder, and then they start like coming less and less, and she starts getting worried about him. So she decides to go to this remote like seaside town and see what the hell There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Just keep going.
I know. And so you know I can't do that.
You gotta have a resistance.
You know I can't do that.
You gotta have a resistance.
It's like he puts on the wig and then he sits there like that, like I'm supposed to react, and then I do react, and then he gets mad.
No, no, no.
But yeah, so.
It didn't happen.
Okay, I'm gonna pretend it didn't happen. So she goes to this town, and she goes in her dad's house, which is this big, I mean, he's got these weird ass like paintings, like he's painted all over the walls. Like he painted, remember we thought it was inside a mall for a second because there's like these kind of like
Trompe
l'oeil paintings escalators and like there's all these like creepy looking people like on the walls. There's a very, very 70s platform bed that's like hanging from chains in the middle of the, which I thought was very nice. And so there's that, but then she gets to the house and nobody is there, like her dad isn't there, and all the townspeople are like super weird, because I think even before she gets in the town and when she stops at the mobile station, remember there's that like super creepy dude that's like standing there and...
Yeah, they've got this dude that shows up and he's like in it a lot. He actually does a great job, man, with this.
I think that guy was not an actor.
He was the Torgo of the fucking movie. That's why I was
he's the Torgo.
Yeah, if you guys know who the Torgo is, he's the Torgo of the movie.
I take care of the place.
Yeah, he's an albino black dude.
Right. And he's like tall.
And
he's like
fucking huge.
He's like 6'8" or some shit.
Yeah, and his line delivery and the shit that he does is fucking trip. He's eating fucking mice and chewing on one. He's the Torgo of, and he's collecting bodies and living people and driving them places. And you just got to see it, man. And
this is a weird ass.
Yeah,
movie,
and he's, you know, basically, you know, are you here for the festival or it's some kind of ritual? You're here for the ritual.
The waiting is
the
what
waiting.
They call
yeah,
it.
And he's like, she's like, no, and he's like, oh. But he's definitely the Torgo of the movie if you've seen fucking Hands of Fate.
Yeah, Manos.
Manos.
Manos. The Hands of
Fate. Hands of Fate.
Yeah, Hands, the Hands of Fate.
Hands of Fate.
Hands.
Yeah, Hands.
But yeah, so she gets there, and then she ends up meeting... Oh, okay, so I was like, well, how does she meet these, like, weird swinger people? But she ends up going to
it's
the...
It's a thruple.
That's what it is. I hate that word.
It's a
like, I understand where it came from, but I was come on, you can come up with a better neologism than that. But, so she goes to the art gallery, thinking that because her dad's an artist and he supposedly sold some of his paintings there, that these people know where the fuck he went. They pretend like they don't know who he is or that he never came there and they didn't sell the paintings, and it's just like this whole weird thing. And everyone's super standoffish, and she just kind of wanders around looking fucking lost and everything. And then she ends up meeting this dude whose name is Tom, but with an H. Tom. No, yeah. It's T-H-O-M. Sorry, that was an MST joke. So anyway, and he has two girlfriends, and he says he's from Portugal, and he's a duke or some shit. I don't know. He's, like, blowing shit out of his ass.
He's lying.
And they're, like, interviewing Elisha Cook Jr.'s bum, like, drunken bum character in this hotel room because Tom says he's interested in legends. And so the bum is telling them about this legend about this town that every 100 years there's, like, a blood moon, and then there's a dark stranger that comes, and all the townspeople, like, wait out on the beach with, like, bonfires, and they're waiting for this dark stranger to come back, and then they all turn into something. So at first, when we were first watching it, because a couple of people that get killed off screen, they said, oh, they look like they were chewed up by dogs, and there's, like, I think she hears, like, something in the background, and she's like, oh, that didn't really sound like dogs. So at first, Tom is like, is this werewolves? This is werewolves.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't know if it is werewolves, though. It's like, I couldn't really... Messiah of Evil doesn't really sound like a werewolf movie.
Yeah, but the title was made after the movie was done. I'm trying to...
Probably. It's not werewolves, though.
I think they considered it possibly being a werewolf movie at one point. I kind of think that the movie was rewritten during the time.
I kind of feel like they wanted to have a monster that wasn't real identifiable in the sense that, because
they ended up with,
that's what I mean. So they kind of wanted to keep the monster, because it's not even really a monster. It's just this weird...
It's like a cult of dead, of people that have come back from the dead, I guess.
Yeah, it's like they call them undead, but they're not dead, though. They don't die. It's like, it's almost like a disease.
Yeah.
But it turns you into a cannibal. And then, like, at the end, when they talk about the dark stranger that came there, like, 100 years ago, and he said that he had been in the Donner Party, and that he ate people at the Donner Party, and that, but I was like, so is he, like, a Wendigo? So maybe he's turning people into Wendigos.
I don't know. I don't think the Wendigo concept.
Maybe I'm thinking too much about it. Well, and they kind of look like vampires too. Like their eyes start to bleed.
Yeah.
And they don't feel pain anymore. And they start, like, their body temperature goes way down.
Yeah.
And then, because remember, there's that great scene where one of the thruple.
Yeah.
Goes into a Ralph's supermarket and there's nobody in there. It's like the middle of the night, but it's still open. And she goes in there and then she goes, it doesn't seem like anybody's in there. But then when she goes to the back, like where the meat section is, like all the townspeople are in there just like eating raw meat out of the fucking, out of the butcher case.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's actually a really good scene. I liked that a lot. But so I don't know. And I mean, that scene and the scene where the other girl goes to the movies. And she goes to the movie theater and there's like nobody in there except like a couple people. And then as she sits there, like watching the trailer or whatever trailers, like people, like creepy townspeople start coming in and like sitting all around, like behind her and stuff. And she doesn't really realize what's going on. And then she turns around and she's like, oh shit. You know what I mean? And then basically they eat her. Yeah. I mean, they don't show that, but that's what the implication is. Like everybody jumps on her and like starts eating her. So they're like, they're not dead.
They're
so they're
cannibals.
Not zombies, but they're, but they're like, it's almost like a disease, like a vampire type of thing, but then it makes them cannibals. So that's why I thought it was kind of like a Wendigo situation.
Yeah.
But then the whole thing about the dark stranger returning when there's a blood moon and like everybody waiting by the ocean. And I think they even say at the end that like the chems comes from the ocean. So I was like, that's kind of Lovecrafty.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I got that.
Underneath the water.
Yeah.
And then she I guess wakes up and she's in the mental asylum and she says they somehow saved her and took her to the, and then you're like, man, that bitch was hallucinating the whole thing. That didn't happen.
I thought though
that
they let her go because they wanted her to like tell the world They wanted that was the whole thing. They had come to like to this town and it was like spreading because everybody in the town was getting it. Like
it was hard to tell. I mean,
yeah.
It was hard to tell.
It's really hard to describe this movie if you haven't seen it.
Yeah. A better version of this would have been Dead and Buried. All right. It was similar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now that you bring that up.
But this is still pretty good for what it is. You just have to trip out. You have to be in the 70s kind of mood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know. Mr. Roboto says, so 30 Days of Night. It is, like, some... I did see another review that kind of compared, like, thematically, but otherwise it's nothing the same.
No,
they're not
totally
really
different.
They're not vampires. I mean, they're not... They look pale, and like I said, their eyes bleed and stuff, but they don't die. They're not undead, really. They're just... It's like they get a disease, and it makes them cannibals.
The tone is similar.
And you have to burn them. You can't, like... Yeah. You can't just stab them, because they'll get back up.
The tone is kind of similar to what I remember Rabid being. Kind of like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not as competent, but I think Rabid had a better budget, and it was a little more coherent. This could use a streamlined edit, I don't know how much movie would be left if you did that. It's 70s. It's all over the place. It's like an art film.
Yeah, I do kind of feel like during the 70s, there were a lot of these. And I think the Wikipedia page talked a little bit about, you know, the horror writer Kim Newman. And he writes a lot about horror. And he was saying that, you know, in the 70s, probably between Night of the Living Dead and, you know, like the early 80s when slashers and stuff like that started taking over, there was this kind of, he calls it the American nightmare, where it's just like there was a lot of opportunity for these kind of like weird ass idiosyncratic like filmmakers to make these cheap ass movies that would get released by like major studios. And because I think actually this movie was picked up, I think by 20th Century Fox, I want to say, or something like that, unless I'm totally remembering that wrong. But so I feel like there was this time period where everybody's making this weird ass shit. Cause even a lot of like George Romero's early movies were super weird. Like I said, like Season of the Witch and even The Crazies was a little bit weird. And, you know, Martin. And so it was just kind of like in the, what was going on at the time. Like, I don't know if it was the drugs or if everybody was just seeing what they could do. So a lot of movies that came out around this time period have this really surreal, like nightmarish kind of, where it's like, they're not really all that plot centric. You can't really, like everybody in this movie, I don't know what their deal is. You know what I'm saying? Like why the fake Portuguese count with the two girlfriends? Like, where did... Like, was he supposed to be the dark stranger? Like, was that what they were implying? Like, I didn't really get that. You know, the woman who came to see her dad, it's like, what was her deal? Like,
they're all just ways of getting your...
She was just, like, walking around like she was on Quaaludes all the time. It's just, like, it's just very, very strange. It's a very strange movie.
It's just a way of getting your friends into the movies, I think.
I guess.
All right. You're reading into it too much. That's who was involved, and that's who was in the movie. So they just made characters for them. It was movies from another time. There was before cable. There were a lot more theaters. It was a lot more theater culture was a lot more prevalent. People went to movies a lot more often because TV really sucked. All right, the technology sucked. There wasn't much in terms of there was only a couple channels. You know, you might live in a place where there's only like two or three television channels, and you might only be able to get two of them really well. The other one you have to adjust the damn rabbit ears. Nah, fuck that. It's
like that. You know? Too much trouble.
So there were a lot of theaters, and so there wasn't any kind of, there wasn't a lack of theater space or time. You know what I mean? Nowadays, if you have a theater, that fucker's crammed full of fucking expensive movies that some studio made, and they want to return. They want to make money on that thing. Well, you know, maybe not in the past couple of years as AMC's falling apart, but that was how that business worked. Well, back then, in this particular time, you could take a small movie that didn't cost much to make that a studio bought for cheap, and they still had space to put it up, space and time to put it up onto a screen and hopefully make some money off of it. Did they make much money? Probably not, because they didn't continue it.
I feel like this was kind of more a drive-in type of thing.
Yeah, those too. They had those.
And honestly, until... I think it got like a kind of a nice special edition recently.
Yeah.
But prior to that, really the only way you could see this movie was on one of those. Remember, you buy those big like DVD packs of like 50 drive-in classics, and they were all like in the public domain. Could've so like Night of the Living Dead and shit was on there. So this usually turned up on those kind of things.
You have to understand that at that time, you know what I mean? And Jenny and I caught the tail end of it. A drive-in movie theater was really just an underage love hotel. That's where all the high school students fucking took the car to park so they could get cracking. You see those fucking cars bouncing in the back. Let's go to the back. You could hear them back there. Yeah. And it's like, it was wilder than you think because not only were you and the girlfriend in the back seat, your boy and his girl were in the front seat. So it was group sex, too.
That sucks, giving them the front seat. Because then
you might trade up. So everybody had to know each other real well. You might only have one car. Like, get that foot out of my face. So, hey, Tom, look. Oh, yeah. Okay. He just did funny shit, you know. It was like, well, you had to have a good sense of humor back then.
That's true.
Yeah, it was another time.
So maybe that's why like a lot of these weird ass movies got made, because people weren't really watching them.
Exit, there you go. It was filler. A lot of it. You know, they had time and space for that. It would be the equivalent of, like, a fucking YouTube channel. You know what I mean? You needed YouTube channels. But they were making money on them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, there was no YouTube. But you had movies like this. And you could put that up in the drive-in and give the kids an excuse to come into the fucking drive-in. Because they weren't watching the movie, per se.
Yeah, every now and then you kind of look up and go, oh, that's kind of
neat. Yeah, in between drinking and smoking cigarettes and getting head or whatever. or giving head, depending on what your position was. But the you might go up and look at it and goof on the movie, you know. And then look at the other cars and try to figure out, you know, it's like, well, you know, where's Jason? There he is. And then you're talking about Jay, oh, you know, who is he's with and that kind of
you
shit.
You just see, you
know,
like a naked butt, like, where's Eric? Pressed up, where's against Eric? The
where's
window.
Eric? Where's Eric? Who's he in there with? Oh, he's with Lisa. All right. Just shit like that, you know.
Because Eric and Lisa.
Yeah. It's just whatever. And, you know, and it might be, the couples might be different, you know, because we had a dating culture back then. Everybody dated. Dating wasn't the same as going steady. So everybody was switching up.
We had to try different ones.
Trying them out, man. Trying them out.
Take them on a test drive.
But the girls were doing the same thing. The girls were doing the same thing.
I know.
It was nothing personal. You go, you take her out one weekend, and then your buddy take her out the next weekend, and then you just flip-flop. you know, it's like, yeah. But that's the way the culture was. We didn't really even get jealous. Grafter's probably in the conversation. He'd probably back me up on that. I went to high school with him. He knows exactly who I'm talking about. We didn't get jealous.
Yeah, I wonder. I don't think I've seen him today.
He's right out there. You had to be lame to get jealous back then. Only lame people that didn't get dates got jealous.
Well, as I said, I think that's kind of where this movie was coming from, too. Because, and this is very much like where it reminded me of Let's Scare Jessica to Death, which we did a review of like a long time ago. Because that was a similar thing where, thank you, no need for me to. Get the donations rolling in. Shows are so entertaining.
Yeah.
Switching up and he's like laughing.
Yeah. Just telling it like it is.
Yeah.
Or like it was.
Because in that movie, remember, like, it was the husband and wife, and then they move to this weird house, and then, like, they have all these, like, weird hippies move in, and they're all, and she's all trying to make moves on the husband and the wife.
Yeah.
So it's just, so I feel like there was all this kind of, like, 70s, woo, free love kind of shit.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what was going on in this, because they don't really give an explanation as to who this Tom person is, or, you know, why he has these two chicks with him, and what they're even doing there. Like, what are they even doing in this town? I mean, you're kind of led to believe that they came there because, like I said, Tom was interested in legends, and he just heard about, like, the whole Blood Moon thing going on, and so he's there, like, interviewing people, but then they don't leave, and then even, like, when bad shit starts to happen, and I don't know. So I've seen a couple people think that maybe he's supposed to be the incarnation of the Dark Stranger, but, like, coming back, because it's time for him to come back, but I don't think that really scans, because he... Well, they don't really show him, like, he dies at the end, but he's because they go out in the ocean, and then, like, he's suddenly just not there anymore. So maybe he was the Dark Stranger all along. I don't know. If that was what they were going for, I think that maybe they should have set that up a little bit better. And the two girlfriends he brought with him both get eaten by the townspeople. Mm. So, I don't know. I don't get it. But, but like I said, it's one of those movies where just, you know, just drop some acid and, like, just watch it. And don't worry about it too much.
Yeah.
Because it's just, like, the imagery is weird. And it's just, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Like, it kind of has a story, but not really. Like, not anything you need to concern yourself with over much. I think later, like, the screenwriters came out and, like, talked about how they kind of disavowed this movie. Because they're just like, oh my god, it was, like, so bad. But I kind of feel like after a time, because it was re-released in the 80s, like, under a different title. Like I said, it was called Dead People. But it kind of, like, went away. Like, it was kind of, like, went under the radar. And like I said, the only place you could get it was some of those, like, cheap-ass DVD packs with, like, 50 movies on them.
It has a choppy edit.
Yeah.
All right? That's why they don't like it. Some of the recording of the audio track, the audio recordings are kind of rough. Voiceover is pretty rough the way it was done. It's not a very smooth movie. But it kind of adds to this kind of fucking... kind of illicit underground feel to it. It feels like an art film.
It definitely does.
And it's just 70s as shit. It's just kind of like an upscale version of Manos Hands of Fate.
Which
I could watch that movie. That movie's fucking weird, man. It's kind of
I mean, I'm really glad that sort of Mystery Science Theater brought Manos back into the public consciousness.
Yeah.
Because that movie is just so strange. It's like, it's bad, but it's just like, it's so entertaining and like hypnotic because it's so strange. And this one has that same kind of quality to it. Like I said, it's almost kind of like, I want to say it was a little bit like Deathbed, The Bed That Eats too. But this is like a lot better than that one. Because that movie was like boring as shit.
Yeah.
That was just like, hey, let's go sleep on this bed in this random place in the forest and it'll suck everyone.
So you got to give it that.
Yeah, it's definitely not boring.
Right. Neither was Manos. Manos wasn't boring either.
Because, because you're like, the whole time you're like, what the fuck am I watching?
Yeah. A lot of the problems with Manos and the thing are what made it interesting. And the problem really centered around the fact that they had a camera that didn't have any sound recording ability, and it could only record about 5 seconds at a time.
I think it was 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
I think it was 30 seconds.
So every cut. Yeah, 30. That's around 5 seconds. 30 seconds.
Yeah, that would be a really weird. That'd be a cut movie.
Was rough, and I think they fucking shot the thing in camera, if you ask me.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
Yeah, real rough.
Well, the guy that made it was not a filmmaker. Right. It was just like a hobby.
Yeah. And so then I think almost everything was done in one take. Wouldn't surprise me. And then they later added voice over to it. They dubbed it, which made it even more shitty looking. But it ended up being real creepy when it was done.
Yeah, it definitely has that vibe to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, and they had weird characters in there. And towards the end, there's this whole fucking coven of witches fucking worshiping this cult leader. And they're trying to bring the old cult leader back from the dead, if I remember correctly, weren't they? They're bringing him back to life.
Or something.
Something like
that. It wasn't super clear.
And nobody's an actor or actress in this movie.
Yeah, I think it was like all the dude's friends.
Yeah. And at the end, the coven of witches, they're kind of not scantily. It's not that they're scantily clad. They're just wearing these kind of fucking loose-fitting robes that are real kind of sheer. And you think porn's going to break out. And they're actually pretty cute, most of them. So you're like, what the hell's going on? They were wrestling, and I think some
slapping
of them
even, each other.
Yeah, and I think one of them even killed another one, if I remember correctly.
I think they slapped Torgo to death.
That's right. They did all kinds of weird shit. You're like, what the fuck is this movie about? But
I kind of love it though.
Yeah. So this one I'm kind of it's like an upscale version of Manos Hands of Fate. I'll put it at that level.
Yeah, it's for sure as weird as that.
Yeah, it's as weird as that, but it's as if you actually knew how to make a movie.
Yeah.
And if you had equipment.
And actual, like, actors.
And actual
actors. That had been in other things.
Right.
Because one of the weirdest things, too, about Manos is that, so a lot of the shots, like I said, because the camera couldn't record sync sound.
Yeah.
So what he would do is, like, if two characters were having a conversation, he would focus on the one that wasn't talking.
Yeah.
And so then there'd be like the other person would be talking from like off camera.
Yeah.
And it was like really unsettling.
Yeah, it's very unsettling. Actually, you know, if you haven't seen this movie, see it. But I also want to plug Manos. Fucking see Manos Hands of Fate, too.
I mean,
that shit there, man.
The Riff Tracks live version of it is a delight.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually on Tubi.
Yeah.
For free. Like, you can watch it. I think it's on Tubi or maybe it's on Pluto.
Yeah, but I think that's all I can say about this movie.
Yeah. They like I said, they just added it on Shudder not too long ago, and I said, ooh, that sounds creepy. And I love, like, fucking 70s shit.
Yeah.
And I'm actually, so we watched it last night, and I'm just like, this is one of the weirdest fucking movies I've ever seen. It's so fucking weird. But it's like, I don't know, you really have to kind of be in the mood for it, because, like I said, it's one of those, just, it's almost like watching a dream, like someone's dream, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. But I don't know. There's something kind of compelling about it nonetheless.
Yeah.
And if anybody else watches it, like, let me know. Like, are those people Wendigos? I kind of thought they were maybe Wendigos.
Grampus is in there. Grampus, I was just talking about you, man. Talking about that damn fucking drive-in over there in Trenton. We used to go to. That shit was just the de facto love motel for fucking all the underage high school kids. We'd be up in there fucking seeing whose car was there. Because we knew who they were with. You see the cars fucking in the back bouncing.
Bouncing cars.
Me and Steve would be up in there fucking with our dates and shit going, yeah, he's giving it to her good. Look at that fucking car bouncing. That's fucking, those windows are all steamed up. Shit was fucking funny.
It was.
Yeah.
Actually, Gramster said, why don't you two make a horror movie? You know, it's Goth Night at Ibar, then a bunch of mundanes show up and out come the machetes. If I was going to make a horror movie, I would not make a slasher.
No.
I would make, like, more of an arty-farty, like, scary.
It's very difficult to make a movie the right way. You have to have a good script, and you have to understand your limitations. And the best thing to do would be make something fucking absolutely insane, like Velocipaster.
So, that might be the way to go. Yeah. It's just because, like I said, if you have those limitations in... you know, and like I said, we were talking about Manos. It's like, I think the idea for Manos was like actually a really good, creepy idea.
Yeah.
It's just, he didn't really have the expertise or the equipment or the money to pull it off the way he wanted, but it was still a good idea. It was a good concept. And I feel like if you don't have the equipment and it's just going to be like look cheap,
yep,
then just lean into it.
Yep.
Because if you try to make a serious movie and you don't really know what you're doing, you're just going to like shoot yourself in the dick.
See, Graham's in there laughing. It's the Fort George drive-in. That's right. Is that still there?
There's very few drive-ins left in these. Oh, they kind of had a little bit of a resurgence, I feel like, but...
You could probably really update one with some kind of digital projector.
Well, yeah, I think some of them have.
And you could change those speakers. See, those speakers had to be shitty. They were in iron boxes.
Yeah.
That were, like, almost chained to the fucking
thing. So people wouldn't take them.
No, because people would forget to take them out and drive away like that. But no, you also got to remember that they were out there in the fucking sub-zero fucking weather all the time and being rained on all the time. They had to be bulletproof. So they were it was basically a squawk box.
Yeah.
You wouldn't need that nowadays, though, because you could stream it through wireless devices now.
Well, I thought back in the old days, even when I was a kid, I thought that there was like a local, they did it like through a local radio station. So you could tune in like on your radio.
Yeah.
I mean, right? I thought they...
Some of them did that.
Yeah, because I thought the one we went...
Only in
the... It was just like, right around there. Yeah. So sometimes it'd be like hard to find it, like on the band or whatever. But I remember, I remember like ones that had that box outside, but I mostly remember tuning it in on the the car radio.
That's how you do it today.
Yeah.
Doesn't make much sense, but that's all it would be good for is basically a Love Motel.
Well, and I feel like now, like, just like movie theaters in general, if you're going to do it, you have to have, like, some kind of theme. You know what I mean? And you'd have to have, like, events. It would have to be, like, an event, like, everybody to go.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know how they have, like, one of the more famous ones is, you know, every now and then they'll show, like, every year they'll show Jaws. Right. But they show it, like, there's a pool and you, like, watch it while you're in the water, like, in an inner tube. You know what I mean?
Graham says, no, man, it's long gone. It's now a major big box grocery.
Yeah.
All right. He said, it still sounded like crap at the radio at Fort George, though, too.
Yeah, ours sounded like crap where we were, too. We used to go to the, I think it was just called the Nova Road Drive-In. It was just on the corner of Nova Road and Hand Avenue. And I was, it's been gone a long time.
Yeah.
But I was in Daytona not too long ago because I went through Daytona going up to St. Augustine. Mm-hmm. And there's like a big, it's a Wawa is there now or something like that. And maybe like a Caterpillar rental place or some shit.
They shouldn't have gotten rid of them. I mean, they did serve a fucking important function in society. And that was to keep the kids from fucking in lover's lanes and getting their shit killed by the damn fucking Night Stalker.
By the Phantom Killer. Or whatever it was,
you know what I mean?
Dex Arcana.
Yeah, because sometimes we'd have to fucking go out and go hide somewhere, you know, fucking down by the river. You know, there'd be cars parked out. All the cops knew what was going on.
Or behind the church. That's where a lot of people I knew went.
All the cops knew.
The church had a big parking lot and you couldn't see it. Like,
all the cops knew because they'd fucking drive by and then they wouldn't stop. They knew what was going on back there.
Well, it's like if they stopped and like did that every time, they wouldn't do anything else. You know what I mean? So it's just kind of like whatever. They're not hurting anybody.
Well, you know, it's better that your kids, you know, they're going to the drive-in. They're contained in that area right there. You know what I'm talking about?
You have to keep those kids contained.
They're keeping them contained, and they're keeping fucking perverts from out of there or whatever. You know, well, actually, just kid perverts in there.
Yeah, kids can be perverts too.
Oh, they're fucking perverts. Yeah, fucking right. It's funny. But, you know, there weren't any adults in there.
Yeah.
Well, we say kids, you know. We didn't think of ourselves as kids back then, you know, fucking...
Well, when you're in 15, high school, 16, you're not 17, really a 18, kid 18. Anymore.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're only a couple years away from graduating and getting the fuck out on your own, you know.
Yep.
Louis says there's still some drive-ins in SoCal. Haven't been to one in years. Yeah, I think there's still some. But, you know, they tend to do, you know, special event, I guess more special event type stuff.
Yeah.
I think it'd be fun. Although, if it, you know, if they had them in Florida, I think I'd rather go in the fucking wintertime. I'm not going to a fucking drive-in during the summer. Fuck that.
You'd have to leave the air conditioner running.
Yeah, like it'll the whole time. Like like a whole two-hour movie. I remember going when I was a kid because they used to do, like, all night. They'd do, like, five or six movies, like, one after the other. And it was always, like, a wildly... They didn't even, like, have themes or anything. It's like, let's show Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 and License to Drive.
Yeah. Graham's going, I wonder how many teenage boys got their first hand job at Fort George. Probably almost as many stars in the night sky. Fucking right.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. First time you're grabbing titties and shit. Get that off there. That's back when bra was fucking, you know, fucking in the back. Here, I can get it in the back. Fucking.
Well, they still do in the back.
Yeah. Well, then later on, he started doing them in the front.
Yeah, but I had some in the front in high school.
Yeah.
And
easy access.
It was, but I didn't love it because sometimes if you just went like that too quick, it would go doink.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, fuck me. And then you'd have to like reach under your shirt and like redo it in the middle of class. I had that happen lots and lots of times.
Yeah, fucking grab those. I'd be down to driving with Cheryl. Remember her? Yeah, she was fucking stacked. Fuck, man. That girl was fucking like a double E. Huge.
Yeah. And her boobs were also contained within the drive-in.
Yeah, she had a good hourglass figure and everything. Red hair. Yeah.
Tom's right.
Graham remembers her.
Yep, he remembers the last name and everything.
Yep.
Nope, we're calling her out.
Calling her out. He put the last name in there. Starts with an R.
Oh, well, hopefully she doesn't watch this channel.
No, she's good. I'm friends with her still.
Oh, okay.
On Facebook. Yeah, okay. She's cool. All right, she's a nurse. She's a nurse now.
Oh, okay. That's cool. All right. So we have anything else you want to say about this weird-ass movie?
Nah, that's it.
Messiah of Evil.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, if you're into 70s surrealism, if you liked Let's Scare Jessica to Death, this would probably be right up your alley.
Yeah.
And it's on Shudder. You can maybe watch it elsewhere, but Shudder just added it not too long ago. We got intrigued.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, drop some acid and watch the shit.
Yeah.
It's weird as hell. All right. So we will be back tomorrow. We're going out tonight.
Yeah.
So we've already watched the movie that we're going to talk about tomorrow, which is actually a brand new one. So I'm not going to tell you what it is, though, just because I'm being coy like that. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us today. And we will talk to you guys again tomorrow afternoon. Bye.